people can relieve themselves of this kind of weather by heading off to Phoenix, Arizona for the Cactus Bowl. Let's go back to that deal, Kurt. How did that all unfold? When did you get a sense, Kurt, that that's what was in the Boise State future?
It was probably the end of last week, Jeff, but I think we talked about this last Thursday. You know, they always like to see how all the championship games play out, and I think after they go through all that and all the teams are placed and all the bowls are filled with, you know, teams that are involved in those contracts with those bowls, and then they kind of make the official invite, and we got ours, you know, Sunday about 1:30.
So were you able to really kind of do some preliminary planning? Did you really believe that was where you were headed? And were there other conditions, Kurt, that could have sent you to another bowl?
Not really. We kind of honed in on that, you know, the week prior in some conversations just with our conference. And, you know, there's never a given. So when we go through that planning process, we try and, you know, consider one, two, or three potential destinations and then plan accordingly.
Kurt, you know, when we had these kinds of conversations 20 years ago, you know, it seemed like teams, we came up with the phrase of, where do you want to go? What do you want to play in? Who do you want to play against? I'm not sure it's like that anymore. I know every negotiation is different, but how much pull does this individual school have in terms of where it plays its postseason college football game?
I don't think a lot, Mike. I think what it is it's a collaborative effort between the conference and the school in question and ESPN and the bowl affiliation. You know, we are contracted to all of these bowls, so at least you've got a good idea about all the possibilities. And then, you know, there are years when there's not enough teams, and sometimes there are some openings. And, you know, the Cactus for the Mountain West is a backup bowl, and it worked out for us. And, you know, we're really excited to be going down to Phoenix and what we think is a quality team in the Big 12, and our team's going to be ready to go, so we're really looking forward to it.
We're asking the AD, Kurt Apsey, Boise State's athletic director, here on Sports Radio The Ticket with Caves and Prater. Boise State ends up being the only school in the Mountain West getting a Power 5 opponent, Kurt. Other question may be, was there ever an analysis of staying in the bowl game right here, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, and what consideration was given to that?
We did not discuss that option with the conference.
So in terms of just the opportunity to play in the past, it had always been chasing the best possible opponent that Boise State can find in a bowl game situation, as long as the record sort of warrants it. Is that still the working philosophy, if you will?
I think it's part of it. I don't think it's, you know, solely based on just that factor. Like I've told you guys before, you know, we want to give our guys a great experience and we want to play a good opponent, and those two things are probably what, you know, is at the top of our list when we're considering it. And, you know, I think the guys here do just a tremendous job with this bowl. But, you know, it is a bowl, and it's a city where we play in six times a year. And when we have a chance to get our team to a new destination, maybe against a team that we've never played before, you know, that's a great opportunity for us. So we're very pleased with where we ended up.
Kurt Apsey joining us here on Sports Radio The Ticket, talking about bowls and the Cactus Bowl and Boise State against Baylor coming up in Phoenix on the 27th. I know that things have went on sale now. We're trying to get people to join us there through this Global Travel Roadshow, and you guys are doing the same. I know there's been an effort launched to get tickets into the hands of some of the military. Bring us up to date on how this has all gone so far.
You know, it's gone well. I think we've got a couple thousand out there distributed right now, and we're hopeful that will continue to grow. You know, obviously it's important for us that people go through Boise State to purchase their tickets. That helps us with our allotment and certainly helps on the budget for the bowl. And I think our fans have been great, you know, so far, and we hope they continue to buy them. And I know it's a difficult time. You know, it's over Christmas and hard to get there, and it's on a Tuesday and all that kind of stuff. But so far we're pleased, and, you know, we're only 4 or 5 days 4 or 5 days into the sales process. We've still got a couple weeks before the game, and I'm hopeful that people will continue to buy the tickets.
We visited with Mike Neely, Kurt, from the Fiesta Bowl and the Cactus Bowl, and talked to him about the payout. And, of course, the Cactus Bowl offers a better payout than a lot of other bowls, including most of the Mountain West ones. He said most schools go through this process and end up with some money in their pocket at the end of the day. As you've scratched this out, you know, what does that look like in terms of how many tickets you've got to sell to be able to add to your budget X dollars? And how is that breaking down?
Well, you know, it's, for us, it's not really a ticket amount. It's more of a amount that we've got to guarantee to the conference, because at the end of the day, these bowls have the contracts with the conference. So they pay the conference, and then the bowl divvies out, you know, expense numbers for each school to spend. So, you know, in these type of bowls, Jeff, we've got to be very frugal, and we've got to make sure that we stay within our budget and our means. And, you know, those are tough decisions that we have to make here in terms of who goes and who doesn't. And, you know, we're on the hook for tickets, and we're on the hook for hotel rooms, and we've got to spend a certain amount of money on food and beverage in the hotel. And so there's just a lot of things that we have to consider, but in no way is this a money-making process for us, unless we can sell, you know, a lot of tickets that increase that number over the guarantee that we've got to give back to the conference.
Wow. So, in other words, it's still a break-even proposition, if you will.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's hard to do, because you want to first and foremost take care of your team and the players and the coaches and all the staff over in football. That's important to me. And it's also, you know, an opportunity for us to bring some folks within our department as a small reward. But at the same time, when we invite those people down there, they all have job duties. So we don't take a lot of fluff with this. There's no one down there just going down on a 3 or 4 or 5 day vacation. Everybody's got a duty, and you know, that's something that's really hard to balance. Really difficult from an administrative standpoint, because you want to take care of as many people as you can, but you got to stay within those means. So it's hard.
So in other words, my 4 day global travel roadshow would not be permissible in the Boise State Athletic Department.
Well, if I could put you to work in the ticket office, then we could probably make that work.
I don't know about that.
No, I hear Prater, all he cares about is going down there and sitting in that hot tub, I guess, is what I'm hearing.
I have confirmed that they do have a pool.
Oh, that's great.
That's like in the outfield, isn't it, or something?
Yes.
Yes. Can you get me those seats, Kurt? Can you set that up
I got you 900 reserved seats in that pool, and we're going to send a bill to the Statesman to help us with our ticket allotment.
I like it. Make it happen.
Prater.
There you go.
I have a shower curtain for you.
Yeah, I'm going to need it. That's a speedo.
Just wear it.
There you go.
Tanson Prater here on Sports Radio, The Ticket, visiting with Kurt Apsey, Bulls and all things Bulls. And at the same time, Coach, in the background of all, all this stuff, is, you know, anytime you end a season on a controversial play or call, there's going to be people that aren't happy. And, you know, we get a few of them. I can't imagine what you guys would get. But defending your head football coach, you know, how is that? To have people ask you about play calling or Coach Harsin, I mean, did you get any of that, and how do you handle it?
Yes, I did get that, and that's okay. You know, all I can say is, you know, we were 10-2 this season and lost two really, really tough games. You know, our quarterback is first-team all-conference. We got a running back that ran for over 1,600 yards. We had two wide receivers with 1,000-yard seasons. That's the first time in our history. And, you know, I'll just say, I see what our players and our coaches do on a weekly basis to prepare for these games. And I don't question what plays are called, nor do I judge, you know, an entire season on one play or one game, Jeff. So it's kind of funny how people get judged on one or two or three plays or one game or whatever. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about those comments and this question, and it makes me think back to 2007. I mean, can you imagine if the Statue of Liberty play didn't work?
Well,
and, you know, just, I mean, think about that for a minute, where you're going for two, and they, they put together some play that, you know, you'd see in your backyard on Thanksgiving with all your buddies, and, you know, and it works, and everyone thinks it's a great play. Well, just, you know, for a second, think about that. Imagine if it didn't work, you'd have the same questions going on, and, you know, as you guys know, that play worked, and it changed our world here at Boise State. So I defend those guys 100%. There's so much more behind what happens after a play is called in terms of, you know, execution and blocking, and are people doing what they're supposed to be doing when we call a play. And, you know, I have the utmost confidence in our staff, and I don't question that for 1 minute.
Kurt, obviously it's silly season for the coaching world out there, and it seems like it's kind of quieted down a little bit, although it could just ratchet back up at any minute. You're not going to talk specifics or anything about the Oregon job. But at this point, moving forward, do you feel that you've kind of jumped or escaped the barriers of losing Brian Harsin, or are you still sitting on pins and needles not knowing what may happen to your football coach?
Well, I always worry about losing our coaches, and not just Brian. I mean, you know, when we continue to have success year in and year out, our coaches are going to be called by other schools. And when you have an expectation of success like we have here at Boise State from all of our teams, you know, I expect our coaches to be sought after. And we'll have this conversation every year without a doubt. And it's not just about Brian either. It's other coaches on our staff that are doing a great job, and bigger schools with more resources are going to reach out, and that is what it is. And, you know, like I said to you guys last week, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That just means to me that we're doing what we need to do here in order to give them the resources they need, and they're doing a heck of a job coaching, and those calls are always going to come.
Do you have any kind of policy or personal way you conduct business in terms of after a football season, after you sit down and have that meeting and evaluate, whether it's Coach Harsin or anybody else? In this particular case, I am talking about Coach Harsin because of the money involved.
Yeah.
Look at his contract. And he's got a contract, and he's got some automatic rollovers in his contract based on how the season goes. But do you sit down and look at the contract every year, and is this the kind of year where we look at Brian Harsin's contract and see if there is a change or a tweak or an upgrade?
We do that every year, Mike. You know, Mike and Brian and I mean, we do have an evaluation at the end of the year, but, you know, between him and I, it's a constant evaluation. It's not just at the end of the year. We meet a lot during the year. We talk about the games that we've played and, you know, what our plans are. I mean, I'm not talking X's and O's as much as just, you know, does the program have what it needs to be successful, and what changes can we make during the season to help them be more successful. So I consider all those things. You know, the one thing I'll say is I think our coaching staff is paid very well, and, you know, we rank near the top amongst all non-Power 5 conferences. It's really important that we continue to provide all of our coaches with the necessary resources for success, and I'm going to do whatever I can to continue to do that.
Hey, Kurt, I mentioned this, and I forwarded this email that I got from a Bronco fan here, and we said we would go over this, and just to bring us all up to date, this was an email that came in from a Bronco fan from the 50s that both he and his wife had went to Boise State, a BAA guy, 6 seats, 2 parking passes, and he doesn't know if he's going to give them up or not because he does not feel like the schedule and the Friday night or Thursday night games are good for him, and they can't tailgate because by the time they get off work and change and get back to the stadium, there's no time. They can't take their grandchildren because they don't stay focused. And he's talking about that and asking you or asking me, you know, hey, should I continue to do this? Why should I? How do you answer this?
You know, I think our fans, first off, are fantastic, and I can't say it enough how much we need them in the stadium to support our team. And there's just some things right now, Jeff, that we have very, very little control over, and we've gone over them 100 times, when we play and what time we play, maybe not so much who we play. And I hope fans are here to support our team, regardless of when it is. I mean, when you think about it, we're asking them for 1 day, 4 hours, 6 times a year, 24 hours, and I get it. I know it's hard with young kids and families and Thursday nights and all those kinds of things, but You know, all we can do is really do our best to put a great product out on that field. I hope our fans understand how hard our players and our coaches work to make sure that they're pleased with our effort. And, you know, we can work on things like game prices and family plans and all those kinds of things. But the times right now are a challenge for us. And I'm going to continue to fight that battle and work with our conference and with our TV affiliates. But, you know, for now, it kind of is what it is. And when I hear frustrations like that, or I get emails or I get phone calls about it, I immediately try and call those people back or write them back and plead with them to keep supporting our team because we need them. And I know that that's not going to work for everybody. And unfortunately, in college football across the country right now, that's kind of how it is. And I'm hopeful for change.
Kurt, thanks for your time. Hope you get home safely, and appreciate you for coming aboard.
All right, fellas. Thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate it.